It's a Pete Snodden Breakfast Show live backstage at the Odyssey in Belfast, and I'm in the company of the legendary Mr. Noel Gallagher. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Very well, thank you. At the gig last night, not to bum you up, but it's the best performance I've seen from you guys in all the times I've been to see you.
Yeah, it's a strange gig last night. There was people throwing coins at us last night, which is not very nice. Andy Bell got hit in the head.
I didn't actually, I didn't pick up on that from where I was standing.
No, well, we don't mention that kind of thing, because it kind of, things kind of can snowball after that, do you know what I mean? But I got it in that, I got it right on my knuckle when I was playing the, it's all 20 pence pieces as well. I think there's £1.80 on stage at some point. But it's not very nice. It'll make us think twice about coming back to Belfast.
Well, I'm absolutely shocked at that, to be totally honest with you, sitting here. I thought that the gig was fantastic.
And it was actually one of the best ones of the tour. The crowd were amazing. But, you know, there's always... I've never understood the throwing coins at a band. It's because, you know, if it's somebody in the eye, you know, it could be a riot if one has to walk off stage.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. The thing I love about you guys, whenever you come and you do the show... You know, unlike some other bands, you don't come and feel the necessity to play your brand new album from cover to cover, and you play the tunes that everyone wants to hear, and that's something that is quite refreshing in a sense, because a lot of people come here and just play their new album pretty much back to back and that's it.
Well, whenever we're going out, we'll play half of our new album, whatever it is. So it's usually five or six songs. I'm of the opinion that if you want to hear it, then you go and buy it, you know. And we're all here on a night out, you know. We're not here to watch a band indulge themselves in how brilliant their new record is, you know what I mean? We'll play half of it because we think it's really good, and some of the songs sound great live, like Shock of the Lightning and, you know, I'm Out of Time, and, well, the ones that we played, you know. But it's 2 hours. Gotta fill it somehow, you know. And yeah, we figure people want to hear Champagne Supernova and Wonderwall and Don't Look Back in Anger, and we like to play them, you know what I mean, because we don't get to tour that often. We get to tour once every 3 years, so it's as much a night out for us as it is for the kids.
So what about after the gig? Did you head out last night?
No, I'm trying to stay off the booze for a week, and what day is it today?
Thursday.
Just 4 days. We got a really bit messed up in London on Sunday after the electric problems at the BBC, so we're a bit shaky coming over on the plane. So I'm going to try and do till the weekend anyway. So I didn't go out. I went back. We stayed here for a bit and watched the football, and then went back to the hotel and sat and watched match of the day. Had a cup of tea. I went to bed.
So what do you think about the situation at Man City at the moment?
Oh, it's colossal. It's a miracle. I always knew one day I'd witness a miracle, and I think that's it. You know, it's a great. I mean, I'm not sure what the end game will be. I'm not sure how many great players they'll buy or how many they can afford. But I'd much rather be in a supporter of the richest club in the world than the poorest in the Northwest. You know, so it's a great thing. Like.
I hear they're not going to have any concerts at Eastlands anymore. Are you disappointed about that?
Slightly. Well, we had 3 nights booked there, but the owners said because they don't need the money, there's no point in having 70,000 hooligans in the stadium, which is fair enough, you know what I mean? It's a double-edged sword. We had to then move our gigs to Heaton Park, which doesn't really matter, you know. I mean, good for them that they don't need the cash, you know. But they still, I mean, they could have thrown every other band out, still let us play.
And quite rightly so. You mentioned the Electric Proms there. I saw Daniel Craig was in the audience.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to see the premiere tonight, if you notice the tux. All dressed up. I was going to wear the Dickie bow, but I thought that would have been a bit overdressed for you. You give him a name check whenever he was in the audience.
Yeah.
Would you like to work in a Bond, on a Bond theme tune or something like that?
Well, I actually, when I was in Los Angeles mixing this record, I was writing at the time, and I wrote a tune which I did a little demo and thought, actually, that sounds like a James Bond theme tune. This is before this film had come out. It's before the theme tune had been decided. So we sent it to the people anyway. We didn't hear anything back. think it was maybe a bit too rock and roll for him.
Well, James Bond can be rock and roll.
Well, apparently not. Apparently not. Apparently it's all the... the thing, I don't like the fact that the last six theme tunes have all been Americans. I think it's a great British institution that should be... And the music should be done by British people, I think. But, I put it like this. I've already done one and they didn't use it, but I don't write songs to order. I don't want to have someone saying, well, we need a song for this particular thing. Can you write it in this particular key? I'm assuming when the next Bond film comes around, they'll still have it on the desk, so... But I said to Daniel, you know, if you can put a word in for me, I'll let you play me when they eventually make a film of my life. I don't think he was too pleased with the bargain there, but there you go.
Last night you mentioned on stage about everyone getting a bit older and stuff like that there. Do you think people are better behaved now at your gigs because they've grown up with the band, so to speak? Obviously talking from last night and obviously the coin incident, that's not the case, but in general.
No, I think the people that were kind of there at the beginning are now kind of standing at the back, you know, and there's the people that, I think this is the youngest crowd we've ever seen, ever. So it means that those early albums are being passed down from generation to generation. Which is, we never thought it'd get this far. Do you know what I mean? We thought we'd have our 5 years and everybody would move on. But it's looking like we're going to be, God forbid, but it's looking like we're going to be the new Rolling Stones, you know. So, but which is a great thing, you know what I mean? Because I don't really envisage anybody doing anything else, particularly you.
Yeah, you know, that is a big thing to be, you know, the new Rolling Stones in a sense, but you'll be Oasis, you won't be the Rolling Stones.
Well, we certainly won't be allowed to use their name because it's copyrighted, I believe.
What about the future? What else do you have to achieve with Oasis? What else do you want to do with the band?
Nothing. There's nothing more to achieve. There's nothing. You know, our songs have gone down in history, you know. We continue to make great records and sell out massive stadium shows. This album in particular has been the best one we've received for years. There's nothing more to achieve. We do it now for the love of it, you know. I don't know. Nothing. I've written... 10 years ago, I would have said, oh, the perfect song, but, you know, I play rock and roll, so every night I think, can get any better than that, you know. And that was my first attempt at writing songs. And if I think about all the albums that I've written and all the songs that are contained on them, any songwriter would kill for one of those songs, let alone, you know, the 15 or 17 that's on Stop the Clocks, you know. So there's nothing more to achieve. It's just to maybe have more kids, but then again, that's nothing to do with you, logic.
You're back in Ireland in June for Slane, headlining 90,000 people. Looking forward to it?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Well, any of those big shows, you know, 90,000 people on a night out is a spectacle, you know what I mean? And they're things we don't take lightly. But I'm really looking forward to it. All the gigs next summer, you know, because we've got a great bill and... well, in Ireland, it's a different bill. I think we've got the Prodigy on, but all the ones on the mainland are great. But yeah, it seems such a long way off to talk about it now, you know what I mean? But yeah, bring it on.
Happy days. And in your spare time away from writing music, you know, what do you get up to?
Well, I used to go on Russell Brand's radio show a lot. But that was before yesterday. I see my mates. I watch a lot of television. I spend a lot of time with my missus and kids and stuff like that. I go on holiday a little bit. I do normal things, you know. I spend a lot of time in supermarkets arguing about what cereal we're going to buy. The kids always want chocolate. They can't have chocolate at that time in the morning. You know that.
You mentioned Russell Brand there. What do you make of the whole thing?
It's just ludicrous. It's not even a story. You know, if Jonathan Ross is not involved, it's not even a story. It's like Russell's young, he's wealthy, he's funny, he's adored by people, he's got no shame, he makes no apologies for it. People don't like that. It's like when we came along in the 90s, they were trying to chip away at me and Liam for years and years and years because we came from nothing and we had more than they had. You know, and they didn't like the fact that we didn't have to work for a living. You know what I mean? We got on with our life and enjoyed it. And the columnists hate that. You know, and Paul Russell's had to kind of, I mean, bless him, he kind of fell on his sword and all that. You know, I wouldn't have resigned, I'd have stuck it out. And I'd have been more offensive, that's what I'd have done. I'd have said something more outrageous, but then again, that's just me.
I take it you like Belfast?
I enjoy being in this part of the world, you know what I mean? It kind of reminds me of my youth, and I'm the only one that can understand the accent. I'm constantly walking around with Andy Bell and going, what did he say? What did he say? But I think Belfast is one of the great, possibly one of the great unsung cities of Europe. So much history with the Titanic and stuff like that. But I went to the Giant's Causeway today. It's still there. Just to allay anybody's fears, it's still there. And but I, you know, Ireland in general is all, it's the land of my fathers, you know what I mean? So I do like it.
Well, Noel, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and good luck for the gig tonight, and we look forward to seeing you next June.
Thank you very much.